Yo.
Hey.
Hey. When in time, we won up another fight. Hey.
The royal.
Yeah. We, including my loyal ceremonial weigh-in fans, we all win today.
Yeah, we're going to do it yesterday, but we just didn't have the time.
We didn't have the energy. We had time.
Yeah,
we had plenty of time.
Time is energy.
We got home and it was about like 10 o'clock and we had a few drinks and hung out with our dog and we were like, let's go to bed.
I'm still on East Coast time.
Oh, so no.
Like 3 hours in the future.
Yeah, I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning. And I was just like,
That's what you do when you're proactive. Dan Gable would have gone for a run this morning at 5 a.m.
Even with his shins sore from kicking sore people shins in the head.
So what are we looking at injury-wise?
So injury wrap-up, I'm pretty good. I have a little black eye. She threw one punch, but it was hard. And I have my hands a little swollen, but it already looks like really good right now. I don't think anything's wrong with it, but I got to get an x-ray on it. And then my shins are just sore, but that always happens when you kick. And I feel like subconsciously, that's why I usually don't kick that much in fights. But I don't know. For some reason, Saturday, I was like, fuck it.
Because kicking was part of the plan.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the reason. It didn't just come to me in
and
a
when
dream.
Someone does start moving, it's easier to cut them off with kicks sometimes.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to do that wild karate charge shit.
But, yeah. In the first round, I was chasing her a bit. Mm-hmm. And it did, like, if she was fighting back, then it might have been dangerous. But because she wasn't fighting back, I was like just kind of wildly chasing her and missing with like that last punch. Mm-hmm. But then in the next rounds, we started throwing that head kick instead. And then finally in the third round, it started finding her. So I feel like that stopped her from running a little bit.
When someone's really determined, because when we watch tape, I guess what we plan for was she does that. She has pretty stiff footwork. Like, she plants, and that's what gives her that pop on those kind of punches.
She being Emily Ducote, first-time viewers that don't know that I'm a fighter in the UFC.
What? They wouldn't be here.
I don't know. Sometimes people see, like, UFC Orlando, and they're like, who's this black girl and this white guy? Like, that's... we had one episode where it was just a bunch of people asking that. I think it was because we were... talking shit about Hezbollah. The bots found us.
Yeah.
The Hezbollah bots.
Shit, yeah. She plants a little bit, but her footwork's kind of... I told you.
Flip the computer on, and then it should pop back on. We need our light so you guys think we're attractive. Bright. And bright, yes. There you go. Oh. Oh, there we are.
I told you I wasn't crazy. Yeah, so what was I going to say? Yeah, the whole thing with her is she does that kind of... She doesn't have really fancy footwork. Like, she sets everything. She steps, she loads her right hand. But if you get a little close together, you're a little tripped up when you push her back. But usually she does a pretty good job of stalking people. And that's what we didn't want to happen, which is why we wanted you... in on her and pushing her back and make her uncomfortable and make her reset. And but I wasn't really anticipating her
just not doing shit.
Not engaging as much, but moving away from you so much, which was weird because...
Well, I thought if she moved away, she'd at least give me something, you know, like she'd throw a counter. Work off of,
yeah,
a straight punch or a leg kick or something. Like, that's kind of what she did with Jess, but Jess wasn't like pressuring her as much. Mm-hmm. And now that I think about it, a lot of the people that she's had success against, they would go in and out, but they would never stay in that like kind of boxing range.
Continually push somebody back.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at her, her second fight with Alima, there was a lot of, Alima took her resets and stuff, and she'd mix in her shots and shit as well. But Alima would push her back with multiple punch combinations.
Yeah, like Ducote, running combos.
Yeah, and Ducote is a little problem kind of handling that, I guess. Like mm-hmm. because she doesn't take hard check hooks. She usually cage blocks with her hands and then waits for either the left hook or the right hand.
And cage block is just like that, like
yeah, just kind of yeah, like
he
a, like,
can't
like,
see
like
me. Yeah, like what, a,
whatever
like a,
people want to call it, like the kickboxer style block that you do in big gloves. You know, you
it
just
makes me
it
think
head.
Of those four wheel drive thingies with the cage covering.
Yeah,
like you
exactly.
can roll with it and you're not gonna get hurt because like because it has the poles. You
yeah
know?
You protect your head. It's a roll bar.
Yeah, yeah, there
roll
you
bar.
Go
roll bar block, that sounds better.
Roll bar,
roll bar block. Yeah, that's too many syllables.
Roll bar block,
too many syllables.
RBB
RBB. Yeah, I know, man. Like it was kind of weird, like she disengaged more than I thought she would, so it was odd because then you have to cut somebody off.
Yeah,
so if you're fighting certain strawweights that like move in a whole lot, it gets really weird because you have to cut them off, otherwise mm-hmm. you're chasing them and it's really annoying. And it's always the ones that wouldn't benefit from moving as much, like the shorter ones,
yeah,
the in and out style fighters, pain in the ass. But she didn't move a whole lot, she was just out of position, I think, and pressured.
Yeah, she was just trying to get some space. Mm-hmm. So it was actually pretty easy to cut her off. Like I was proud of myself because when we watched it back, every now and then she started like running out to the side and I didn't just follow her. I'd like kind of like if
oh that's
if,
horrible.
What do you have? What are you drinking? We have a whiskey advent calendar for Christmas, and I couldn't drink any of it for the first 3 days, obviously, but now we get to catch up. So
hey, we got a backlog.
Do you have a backlog of whiskey?
Just instant heartburn. It's not
which
good.
One is that?
Glenfaccus or something?
Mine is the sherry, what is it called? Sherry barrel?
Everything's sherry a sherry cask. Barrel. That's not that's not uncommon.
Notes of cherry.
Sherry. Sherry's not cherry.
It
it's
smells
two different
like cherry.
Things.
Smell it.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, I was actually kind of proud of myself because I didn't just follow her. Because I kicked her, yes, yeah. That. But I didn't just follow her. I like let her go to the side and kind of like ran to the middle and then cut her off. So like kind of cut off her path of escape every now and then. And I think that just kind of overwhelmed her because mm-hmm. cage control is definitely an experience thing. I didn't do it for half of my fights. And then I started thinking about it once I started losing people when I would pressure them and they could run away from me. So, yeah, that definitely helped a lot. Yeah, that and the fact that she just didn't do anything in the first couple of rounds.
If she was one of those kind of outside style fighters that have those explode and retreat thing, like you see it with a lot of those karate style fighters, like mm-hmm. Maybe not so much this weekend, but Stephen Thompson fights with his back in the cage a whole lot. But there's a lot of those
he was coming
dudes,
forward this
he was,
time. He was like, fuck!
He had Kevin Holland on the cage, mm-hmm. but you find that like a lot of these people that move a lot, they need that. If they're not going to set and establish a jab, they need that sidekick. They need that weird lateral switch stance kind of movement. And it,
the computer is just mad at us right now.
She didn't. And I feel like she does have those because watching tape on her, there was a couple of times in fights where I saw her throw like a little sidekick. I'm like, so you do. She does have that Taekwondo thing.
Yeah.
Just doesn't utilize it a lot. So I was kind of surprised because I thought she'd bust out something we hadn't kind of seen before, but mm-hmm. really just pressing her, keeping the jab on her. And if she did come forward, meeting her in the clinch and threatening with that a little bit really kind of stymied her ability to move forward.
Yeah.
So kudos to you.
Thanks. I was really kind of surprised because there was one moment, it was either in the second round or halfway through the third mm-hmm. where you called for the scissor knee mm-hmm. or the jump and switch knee. And and in my head, I was like, it's not there. She's standing too upright. But as soon as I threw it right after you said it, even though I didn't think it was going to work. And as soon as I threw it, she ducked her head into me, like kind of headbutted my stomach. And I was like, oh, shit. Like she headbutted my stomach, but my knee went right into her like chest. So I was like, wow, Adam's just like premonition of when she's going to duck down and shoot really worked.
But it was mainly because she actually does a really good job of keeping her chin really tightly tucked, like maybe almost to a fault. Like she doesn't utilize a lot of head movement. She kind of
when she moved her head to the side, it was kind of like
But she parries straight punches and combinations with that. Yeah. But she still keeps it quite tightly. She keeps her chin down. She doesn't bring her chin in the air when she's coming forward.
Yeah.
Which people do even at a super advanced level. But she started, when she starts ducking under punches a little bit, she opens herself up for that knee or the uppercut underneath a little bit. Mm. And that's why I saw the knee. Not necessarily because it was going to be a level change, but because she was coming forward and ducking the punches a wee bit.
Ah, so maybe she just was like, I'm a go for it. She started ducking a punch and then realized the knee was coming up and then was like, double down.
Yeah. And we know that her shots, and if you watch like her past fights, she does that. I don't even know what to call it. You call it a girl takedown.
I call it the girl takedown because it's the double leg, but you don't rely on the penetration to get the shot. You rely on like scooping this leg and tripping the lead leg basically and pushing him over. And I knew that was coming when you saw it on tape because Vierna did that to me at one point in our fight. So I was like, oh, she's definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
And we just prepared for it. It's like if you don't have a strong latch on that leg, all you have to do is step out.
Yeah.
And because she kind of, I think she telegraphed it a tiny bit, so I was able to sprawl before she could really get her leg around my leg and trip me, and then just tore up a clinch afterwards, and it was, I don't know, it was just a real good deterrent for any future shots fight.
If you fail on that shot and the person sprawls, gets their hips back to stand up, you are briefly stuck in clinch position, right?
Yeah, like she should have shot again, you know, because if you stand up with my hands on your head, that's gonna suck. Mm-hmm. Like if you're on your knees, you can briefly stand up and shoot again before I have a chance to knee you in the face, because like it's just a kind of a shitty position to be in. But she just stood up, she backed out of it, she was like, not gonna try that again. And then I was able to get off a bunch of good knees, and I think that was really what stopped her from giving me too much offense. Is just the body work, like the body shots, with the punches, with the even the push kicks. Everything was either landing or threatening really fast that it might land, and she was shying away from that a bit.
And that'll, anytime you throw like right leg snap kicks or push kicks or whatever you want to call them, it makes people hesitant when they're at range from changing levels, even if it doesn't land.
Yeah,
when you're aware of that right leg, you get a little hesitant with changing levels and moving in.
Yeah. What do you think stopped her from throwing calf kicks? Do you think it just pressure. Wasn't so the just game plan?
Just pushing someone backwards. Like the thing with Jess is a really nice, educated jab, but she'll jab and sometimes she won't follow up with the 1-2, or she won't double up on the jab, or she'll throw the jab as a rangefinder but keep her feet more stationary. So that'll work really well for Jess against certain people, but against the Cody was obviously waiting for that. The study had been done, the tape. They knew that Jess was maybe there for the leg kick.
Yeah.
And
that was a cool thing you saw from watching her fight the Cody, or watching Jess fight the Cody. You're like, the Cody's just as open for them.
She is, but the thing is, if you don't throw something like leg kicks instinctually, it's really hard to be in the fight in the moment and then start telling someone to do it. And Jess can kick, man. She can. It's just the, because it's not her bread and butter, it's pretty much boxing, weird-ass jiu-jitsu I don't fully comprehend. That's
pulling guard from standing.
Yeah. Jump.
Climbing up them.
Koaling the shit out of someone.
Yeah.
This thing, man, it hates me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's really weird. We got to get the dingle back. Oh, you know what the what do you call that? The white thing that we plugged in that has a USB port. The white thing we plugged in. What do you call that? A power strip. Anyway, I was really happy about that. Big thanks to Jess for showing us that's something that she goes for, because we spent a lot of time preparing for the calf kick and almost too much time because she didn't throw it at all. And it is kind of funny. It almost makes you second guess your game plan when you prepare for something that you know the person is really good at and they don't throw it once. Like it's almost, it shows that you prepared well, but it does make you a little hesitant because you're almost wondering when that big shot is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right then.
Yeah, Doug Cody finally got us back. Yeah, I'm wondering where the big punch is going to happen. You know, like she has those like those good counter crosses in her highlight reels, you know, where she steps back and throws like a power cross. She has strong hooks in her highlights. She has that leg kick in her highlights. And the whole time, even though I was pressuring forward, I was wondering when she's going to pull that out. Mm-hmm. And it almost makes it harder to be aggressive because you're like, it's like a scary movie. You're like, I know she's going to do something, but she hasn't done it yet.
Here comes the jump scare.
Yeah. So I think I was almost relieved in the third round where she finally came forward. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is what you got. Okay.
It's weird because you think if someone was really going to try and tag you with a calf kick, and you've been calf kicked before, like with
Nina Ansaroff.
Yeah. Like calf kick's bread and butter of a top team.
Nina
and stuff.
Nunes now.
Nina Nunes.
She was Ansaroff when I fought.
The artist formerly known as Ansaroff. And it's something you can only get sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate for everyone. And you know, people act as if it's this holy grail, it's this striking thing, and it is. It's devastating on certain people.
Yeah.
Certain people, it's there. Certain people, it's not. And if you try and force it, it's probably why you don't see it so often.
Unless you do that fight, Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, but...
What's his name? Chris Gutierrez. Yeah, that guy.
That's what Factory X is known for. Is
he lands it on fucking everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And his boxing almost at a certain point is just perfunctory to set up his kicks.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah. Made you look.
it's an odd thing, but it is very, very self-destructive if you're thrown against the wrong person.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't get away with it against certain people. And I guess that's when game planning comes into play. Maybe she just didn't see it on you, but we'd planned for that, but I didn't realize how effective we did so much like calf kick defense.
Mm-hmm.
It seems ridiculous because then, you know, I think she threw one.
Hey, at least I have it now.
Yeah, so it was there. We're ready for it. But just drawing that attack out with feints, freeze them in place, and then almost just by virtue of doubling up on the jab or feinting before you committed to the jab, shut it down a little bit because it's not really there anymore. Maybe that wasn't our game plan.
Shut it down.
Like, you know, happy with it. There's always little things you can improve on, but
For sure. I'm definitely happy with it, but I was dreading watching it because I was like, I like being happy with it. I don't want to watch it and then get all critical and get mad at myself for not doing this and that. But I am happy with it, so I'm excited about the next one. This is two wins in a row. First time I've had like a little streak going in a while. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited to see who the next one's going to be.
And all that fucking wrestling you didn't even... Well, you tried kind of for takedown.
I mean, I didn't try that hard because punching her seemed easier at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, why risk it? I can just hit her a bunch and hopefully she'll get hurt enough to stop.
I mean, there's that old thing that people say where it's like basics work.
Yeah.
Like basics do work. If you're throwing haymakers, it's not necessarily going to land. If you faint and you throw the haymaker, great. You know, it's just sticking behind a jab, throwing a 1-2, not being out of position with your feet, and keeping, you know, against someone with a good right hand, just a high left shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really happy with my basics in this fight. And our girl, Yasmin, she got the win right as we got to the arena. She was fighting, so that was cool.
Someone you trained a lot with in Antrim, especially in preparation for this fight.
Yeah.
You guys end up on the same card. And good training partner. Yeah.
Really good training partner. She's definitely one of those girls who probably have trouble holding on the training partners because she spars a lot like how she fights. She's just aggressive, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really cool seeing her get that win. It gave me like that, you know, that boost when you're like, yeah, that girl just beat that girl, so I'm going to beat my girl.
And interestingly, Estelle Nunez was someone you were scheduled to fight a long time ago, and she got removed from the matchup and was replaced with Ariane Conolosi, I believe, because of a USADA violation. She was coming from 1FC, got suspended for a couple of years, I think, on a USADA violation coming to the UFC. And had a bit of trouble going forward. But obviously, even in a 1FC fight, which was the footage I watched when I still thought you were going to fight her, like, good kicker, you know, good power, good strikes. I didn't think she'd give Yasmin a lot of trouble, but Yasmin had a bit of trouble with her in the first round.
Just a little bit. Just a little. It looked like Yasmin, because she gets wide.
Yeah.
So it looked like she got caught with something straight when she was going wide, you know, and because she pressures so hard, like a lot of times she helps someone land a big punch just because she's coming forward and her, the inertia of her coming forward aids to the person's punch, you know? So it looked like she just had to take like half the round off, clear her head, and then she was back to throwing bombs at the end of the first round. And then in the second, she was able to just flurry her and get her on the ground. And there were a couple times, it was funny, Phil was making fun of you. Phil Davis was in my corner, no big deal. But
not Philip Rowe.
Philip Rowe, who in the hotel
inexplicably thought Phil was the same person as.
Yeah, I know you're a Phil. One of those.
You're black
Phils.
And you're a Phil.
Yeah, one of those black Phils. Phil Davis was in my corner and he was making fun of you because as soon as she was ground and pounded her on the ground, you went, "She's out."
I thought she was out. It looked like she was out for a split second.
Yeah, you're like, "She's out."
I know. She's like, "Stop the goddamn fight." You're like, I was Cristione in that moment. I would have jumped in there.
Slid.
Throwing myself on top of someone who was still fully conscious.
You were Herb Dean.
Yeah. but it looked like she was out for a moment. But you've seen that in the past. Like, she had a bit of trouble against, I want to say Carnelosi.
Oh, okay.
Got on top of her and kind of beat her up a little from top position. Yeah. But she looked good initially, but then really started circling a lot with not a lot of answers. And Yasmin was chasing. Mm. And chasing can be a bad idea, but she was chasing so hard like Yasmin does, like, mad aggressive. Estelle Nunes wasn't able to take a reset and set and get any counters off after that initial big punch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there was a reason Yasmin was so heavily favored going into that.
Yeah, and she showed, man. She's a finisher. It was pretty cool to watch. So congrats to Yasmin. Half looking forward to training together again, half not.
You got that new mouthpiece now, so that's cool.
Yeah. She keeps me young. She keeps me training with her, keeps me young. So that's always a good
thing. It's nice to know you can hang with 23-year-olds.
Yeah, for sure. No, she's dope. She's really sweet girl. And I've been like upping my Duolingo just so I can go to Intram and get my training in and actually talk to people there. Yeah. So thanks, girl, for that. And then there were just so many fucking fights. Well,
we were completely distracted.
That we couldn't really watch.
The Nico Price fight, Philip Rowe fight, looked nuts.
Little bit that I saw in between interviews, like when I sat down at the little media table where they do that final like interview at the desk or something.
We were all watching off to the side. I was like, don't. Say shit, this camera, you know, like people were kind of glancing at it because it was pretty nuts.
It was nuts, yeah. And from what I saw, I think the only thing I saw was just I looked over and I was like, yo, he looks big as shit. Like Philip Rowe, like, dude, he looked big.
Well, he
like,
did miss weight by 3 pounds, right?
He did, but even just frame wise, he just looked so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, his next opponent probably isn't gonna give up that allowance for sure. But I didn't really get to watch the fight. I'm gonna have to go back and look. But we did get to talk to Nico a little bit.
Yeah, Nico's a fun.
He's a nutcase.
I mean, how can you not like that guy?
Yeah,
puts on exciting fights. Genuine crazy person, but
he was
very genuine, very friendly, very nice.
Dude, you know? when we first came to the hotel, he's walking through, and we were going to check in. He's like, "Yeah, just finished. I'm all sweaty because I just finished a game of foosball with my coaches." And we're like, "Oh my gosh, how did you get sweaty for that?" And then the next time we see him, we're getting on the elevator, and he's like, "Hey, don't go all the way to the office to heat up your food. There's a microwave right there." And I'm like, who
ran over the elevator to tell you that before you got to the floor. Yeah.
I'm like, who takes the time out of their fight week to do that for someone? Like, what a good, like, genuine fucking dude.
Yeah.
So I really felt bad that he didn't get that win. And some people were saying it was an early stoppage, but I think it was just weird timing stoppage. You know what I mean? Like, he got hurt and then they stopped it after it seemed like he was recovering, where they probably should have stopped it a few seconds before.
It looked fair to me. Yeah. But I didn't watch the complete fight, so it's hard to kind of navigate the ebb and flow of it. Like, I just saw the finish. I know that he hurt Roe. He had Roe pretty wobbled just before that. So
frustrating.
Yeah, but he's an action fighter. He's exciting. It's
one he's of not going that, anywhere. No, absolutely not. Doesn't take away from his stock. Just takes away from like the Christmas bonus. You know.
I was happy that we got to see the main event, because that was a really great fight. I mean, we knew it would be, right? But I think I was one of these people who was a little guilty of writing Wonderboy off more than I should have.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I was like, Wonderboy's old and slow.
He's the same age as you, yes.
He's so old and slow. Look at him.
He's never been slow. He's just, he always had one of those styles where people do forget that it's quite a patient style, even back in the fights that he's known for knocking dudes out. And I'm like, you still had like a round and a half of like karate hopping and distance management. And people got mad at it and people booed. But then he'd whip a kick out of nowhere and body someone. And that's where the exciting part comes from.
Yeah.
So, I understand why people thought Holland was going to run him over, myself included. But
and
I
he
was
tried
very
to.
Wrong. Yeah.
He thought it too in the first. Mm-hmm. Maybe Wonderboy thought it for like a split second. But then every round after that, he was just on top of him. Like, it was really impressive to see that Wonderboy is still one of those guys who is like, yeah, this is my number, and like none of you young bucks, none of you young whippersnappers are gonna take it away.
It, like to pin a guy against the cage like that, like Holland, and just pick at him with such a variety of strikes. That's the weird thing about...
Yo, he's spawning him so much.
Yeah, Thompson, you don't know what's coming. Like, it must be really, really weird, because that must be extremely hard to replicate in training.
Yeah.
Even with solid training partners, it's so dexterous with his ability to throw fucking everything. You know, I wish that I had that flexibility.
and it's not just flexibility. It's like the knowledge of knowing when it's going to trip someone out. You know, like, he knows if someone punches down the center line, he can roll with it and land something as they're retreating the punch, you know. And he's just been doing it for so many years that it comes fluid. He probably doesn't even know he's doing it as he's doing it, you know. Experience is a motherfucker.
And that karate charge stuff, I'm not a big fan of it, because I'm just not a big fan of it, but the karate charge stuff, like,
I hate karate.
No, he does it well, though. He does those shifting punches coming forward, like blitz in a straight line, puts a low kick on the end of it. But Holland was doing that lean back a lot, and maybe it was because his hand was damaged. It was going to be hard for him to counter punch.
Oh, yeah.
But he did. He took that lean back to his right side a whole lot, and Wonderboy was really kind of gunning for him, you know? And he got away with it for a while, but just being caught against the cage and the ability of, like, that dude to throw a spinning heel kick to the head and then immediately faint high and throw the spinning heel to the body. Most people go high, low, high with punches. That dude does it with kicks, and it's nuts. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you see the advantage in, like, Holland's boxing, maybe not in a pure technical sense, but Wonderboy's that hop, hop, explode forward with punches. But Holland obviously came in winging so hard in the first round.
Yeah, he broke all his hand.
Yeah.
All of
really
it.
Really jacked up his right hand.
The third, fourth, and fifth of it. Wait, what is it?
Third, fourth, fifth metacarpal.
Yeah. The third, Dr. fourth, Ange. And fifth of it. Yeah. He broke all of it. Yeah, I think if anything, I just swollen my finger bone.
But you always
broke anything. But you feel it in the fight. Like, when something weird happens, it's weird because you feel it in the fight. And it's telling you not to throw it anymore.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel people are giving him a little bit of shit for even posting about it. Or I don't even think he posted about it, but of course UFC's going to post about it. Like, he had a serious injury in the fight. But it makes a difference. Like, if he didn't break his hand, he would have fought differently, you know? So it definitely makes a difference. And I'm a big Kevin Holland fan.
How could you not be? That's the weird thing.
Yeah, he's like, people just had such the weirdest, a nice guy.
You know it's going to be an entertaining fight. You know, he's going to talk shit.
Yeah.
He's, yeah, I don't know why people expected him to turn into, like, a wrestler against Wonderboy. And sure, he had to shoot at certain points, but it's not, that's not his bread and butter. Like, Wonderboy, you'd want to be able to be pretty high level wrestler. Obviously he's got great jiu-jitsu, but it's like he doesn't really have to shoot on people like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how many times did like Tyron Woodley take Wonder
I don't
Boy
think he attempted
down?
To for you a know? Whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's why he's ranked where he is. Like, and fucking Kevin Holland, he's such a sweetheart. Like, I didn't tell you this, but when I was getting worked on, there's mm-hmm. like a person with the UFC who works on us before we fight.
Work on you.
They worked on me.
Yeah, spark plug.
Work it, yeah. Work it. She gave me a lap dance. no, they do like body work or whatever. And I'm laying in the massage table, and Kevin Holland comes in and gets like the PI food that they made for him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Hey, if you want to go to a steakhouse, let me know. I have extra tickets. You can come eat for free."
Tickets?
Oh, yeah, shit. To a steakhouse, like
was it
a local steakhouse.
I was like, "Who
Maybe
gets tickets to a steakhouse?"
Maybe
I don't
it's
think I've ever heard of steakhouse tickets, you know? I've heard of wolf tickets. I don't have the steak
wolf
tickets.
Yeah, I've never heard of steakhouse tickets. But he offered me and Tara, the woman who was working on Aww. Me, tickets. And he was like, "Yeah, Angie, if you and your team want to come, you're good." And I'm like in the massage chair, like, "No, but thank you," you know. But yeah, he's just such a sweet guy. You know, I know people don't like the high fiving and stuff during a fight, but I do like the friendly banter before a fight, because mm-hmm. it's like once you're in a position where you value your job, like why pretend to be angry at each other? You yeah. know what I mean? Like that's where amateur fighters really. That's where people are coming up. Once you're in a position where you're making money, your opponent's making money. The only reason you're both making money is because both of you showed up and made weight. You respect the other person, you know. So I really enjoyed that with this main event. Like there was no trash talk that was disrespectful. They were just kind of like hamming it up, you know, being chummy, and then they fought each other, and it was a nasty fucking fight. Like it looked like they didn't like each other, you know. So you win. Yeah, it's a win-win with that.
And I gotta say as well, Bob Perez was his corner, right?
Yeah, crew Bob Perez.
You've seen with Derek Lewis and stuff, right?
The
mustache.
I love his mustache. Yeah. It's so like, I don't know, he looks like a cartoon Italian. Even though he's not.
That guy should play Mario in the live action movie.
Right? Instead of like,
Chris
what is
Pratt.
It?
God damn it. Yeah.
Who was it? No,
Chris Pratt.
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo was Luigi.
No, he was Luigi. Who was the other guy? The guy who played
Bob Hawkins.
Oh, right? So he was also a Bob?
Bob Hawkins, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hey, crew Bob Hawkins.
I think it was Bob Hawkins. but he made the decision to throw in the towel in the fourth and fifth
yeah,
round. And again, like, it was like, it was good. Obviously, he wasn't, I don't think he was too rattled with the shots to the head and stuff, but he could see how it was going. You could see that his hand was badly damaged. And it was like a good decision. And I feel like people don't do that enough.
Yeah.
When you know it's going south.
If your fighter has a 10-8 round. Mm-hmm. And they can't,
and you know that
put
I'm
out
any
in
better.
The offense. Yeah. Yeah, don't just let pride give him another ass whooping for a round. Just stop the fight.
But people, you know, the fans are going to shit on it as well. We're not really fully understanding, but it's a lot of damage, man, to
it
take
is.
When you don't have.
This is one punch. I have makeup on it, but like, one punch gives you a black eye. Mm-hmm. Imagine what it does to your orbital bone. Imagine like what multiple punches does to your nose, to your brain cells. Like, it's not good to take all that damage. I remember the first time I sparred, I did like an MMA styled sparring round. Mm-hmm. I was taken aback at how different it felt to get punched on the ground and have my head bounce off of the mats. Like, that's a weird feeling. Wow. You know, and you don't feel that in a boxing ring. You don't feel it even in a cage when you hit the wall, but you definitely feel it when your head's on the ground and someone punches your head into the ground harder. Like, it's a lot of rattling of the brain. So better not to let your fighter take unnecessary damage when the outcome is going to be the same.
Yeah. Still exciting fight.
Yeah.
Happy to see it. That was dope. I mean, fight. We didn't get to see it live because we had to get pushed back to the hotel.
Yeah, like, get out of here. You're not done. Molly McCann. Get out of here.
She only gets privileges in London, I think, is stuff.
Oh, you
know?
Really?
I don't know. I'm theorizing.
Yeah.
I think
if
it's your hometown crowd, they'll make a little more.
Yeah. I don't think she was hanging out in New York.
Yeah.
But probably wouldn't want to anyway. But no, she was hanging out afterwards, after the fights. Like, Molly's just like, I don't care if I win or lose. I'm fucking party. I'm raging.
Is the next week, is that the pay-per-view?
Next week's pay-per-view, yeah.
This coming Saturday?
Yes.
Patty Pimblett.
Pimblett versus...
Gordon Ryan. Gordon Ryan.
Jared Gordon.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Jared Gordon. I know.
Not the same weight class, but close.
No.
and then Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev.
All right, cool. Well, I think that'll do us for now. But
yeah.
I'm excited to watch fights again without having that weird anticipation of going out to fight week hanging over.
Dude, I hate that. It's like I can't even enjoy the fight nights because I'm just like, ugh.
Your heart spikes every time you see something that reminds you of.
Yeah, like every time I saw a calf kick leading up to this fight, I'm like.
It sucks because the thing about calf kicks is if you're anticipating them, you're like, oh, this is going to suck because win, lose, draw, you eat a couple of them. It's gonna suck walking the next day.
Yeah.
And until you've really had your leg chewed up by someone, you can't really appreciate it. You know, they get these guys online that are happy to sit themselves from a camera and ask a professional Muay Thai fighter kick you in the leg. And then you put it on YouTube. It's like, cool. Imagine three of those, you know?
Dude,
it's no fun and it's debilitating. You never want to be, you really want to make an effort to not be walking with a limp past your opponent, win, lose, or draw. So, yeah.
Yeah, I had that big plan of going to Universal after my fight, but in the back of my head, I knew you might not be able to walk the next day. Like, you're pushing it. You're making these plans, but don't buy a ticket because you may need one of those scooters. Because
they're non-refundable.
Yeah, they're non-refundable, and yeah, they might not have any scooters to rent. So you can zip around the park. But I was pretty determined to be at Harry Potter World on a scooter drinking butter beer. Like, that was my goal. Unfortunately, we just made it to City Walk, but I was pretty exhausted.
But at least you did it on your own power. It's just your shins that hurt.
Yeah.
No, the outside of your shins.
Exactly. I hurt my shins from kicking her, not the other way around. What did that Tai Tuivasa fight look like? Because I was in the shower.
It was a 1 minute fight.
Okay.
Yeah. Tuivasa kind of did Tuivasa. You know how it is. Like,
He came, brought it.
Big dude stormed out, kind of put him against the fence. They were exchanging. Tuivasa got rocked a little, did his kind of weave, duck, and then swing the left hook as fast as shit out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Almost caught him with it a couple of times, but it was just too much. Guy kept the pressure on. And it's rough because if you look at Tuivasa, he's coming off that GAN fight that was an incredible amount of damage.
Dude, yeah.
That was only 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, that was recent. That was September.
Yeah, so it's...
So less than that, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. Fair play to the guy, but that's a lot to come back from that quickly. And he gave a great account of himself in the Cyril GAN fight, but that's the kind of fight I feel like you'd want to take a little bit of time from, right?
At least 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta let your brain heal. And he got knocked out like multiple times in that fight. Like, he
but I say that, but then if he connected with one of those hooks as he was like swinging his head underneath the punch and coming back with it and he dropped, oh boy, then I would have been, well, you know, everyone would have had the same reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's kind of one of those dudes.
It's a risk.
Yeah.
You know, you're always taking a risk when you take a lot of brain damage in a fight. You know, he had that success early in the GAN fight where he was able to, like, wobble him in, like, the third round, I think.
I thought it was second round.
Maybe it was the second, round? Yeah. I remember just because your mom was asking me,
It seemed like a foregone conclusion, right?
It was really funny. She was like, why do they have this guy fighting that guy? Like, he obviously doesn't look in shape enough to fight this guy, talking about Ciryl Gane and Tuivasa. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's why they book him, because he always knocks people out that he shouldn't look like he's able to knock out. And then he hit Gane, like, literally, him, yeah. Literally, like, 30 seconds later, he cracked him, and everyone went crazy. But Gane was able to come back, and he wobbled Ty, like, maybe two or three times mm-hmm. before the ref finally jumped in. So that's the only reason why I feel like.
But a lot of that was body work, to be fair. Oh, like that's a lot true. Of stab kicks and stuff.
Okay, that's true. Never mind. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, poor Ty, man. He's such a fun like fighter to follow, though, that there's not gonna be anything lost from him losing. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll probably headline next time he's out. Yeah. You know? Anyway, Dos Anjos came back in Barbara a strong Rina. Way.
Yeah, I really didn't get to see that. We're going back to the hotel and stuff. We missed a lot of...
No, we were chilling in the hotel.
We were?
Yeah, because I was showering during the Tuivasa fight. You were drunk. We watched Nicolau versus Schnell while my mom was talking to me, so I didn't get to see too much of it. Mm. It was a really technical, like... good back and forth fight, and then just Nicolau started taking it away.
Yeah, Schnell had a hard weight cut, so that was always going to be. That's always at the back of your mind. Someone's durability, especially at 125 as well.
Yeah,
it's an odd
and
one.
He's tall for 125. Yeah. Like he's the biggest of the small.
But even in his last the fight, small even class. His last fight where he did get fight that night and stuff, he was dropped a couple of times, I believe.
One or
so
two.
Yeah. It's rare for that to happen at 125 with that much consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that makes exciting fights, right? You know, back and forth, and then you finish when you're behind a little bit. And I can see why we know him from MTV, you know, like back in the day. Cage.
Danger Cage.
He's stuck with that handle forever, right?
That's, MTV Cage. Yeah. It's funny. Being on the same card with someone like that when you were watching that shit when you were just a Muay Thai fighter. And I don't even know if we had fought yet, but we were watching it and we were like, oh, we like Muay Thai and now this thing's on MTV, so we're going to watch it. And it's just funny to how eventually your paths converge. So it was cool seeing him walking around and stuff. And I thought he looked cool with the shaved head. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. but Dos Anjos, I was kind of like in two minds about it, because RDA is one of those people, one of those fighters that I always looked up to because of, you know, how many losses he's come back from,
mm-hmm.
and also his style of fighting. He's just good at everything. But then he's fighting Brian Barberena, who's just like total family man. He's a farm boy. He came into our fucking
dungarees.
Workout room wearing dungarees, wearing fucking overalls. I expected him to have like a straw, like a piece of straw in his mouth, you know. Came into our workout room with his wife, and you know, he's just such a nice dude. So It was bittersweet watching him get submitted by RDA, but man, that fucking like arm triangle.
That man's got a squeeze on him.
Dude, he is fucking legit. So I think that's a cool thing that he was able to do in that fight, is just show, hey, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's dropped a bunch.
Anyway, recently. We said we're going to do a real quick show, so we're
so I think I'm done. I'm just looking at who else he fought. He only lost to Rafael Fiezev, who is on a tear super right now. But then the last person he beat before that was Renato Moicano, and I remember that was just like he outclassed him for five rounds.
Was Moicano in a fight this weekend?
I don't know.
I saw him walking around.
Let's see.
I didn't think so.
I can look at his tap.
Maybe he was cornering someone.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. We're done. We're not talking about any more fights because we have to enjoy the win. And we'll see you guys after the pay-per-view, which will be amazing. Everyone should buy it.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble.
Angel Hill, cut for the UFC.
Hey, we're still going to buy it. So
we're gonna buy it. So you should too, even though we bought PFL, so don't take our
PFL was good. I don't regret buying PFL. I have no buyer's remorse on buying PFL.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I have more buyer's remorse for that Italian dinner we had at Disney World.
Don't go and get the ragu at Disney World. No. It wasn't good.
It was not good. Disney, what is it called? Downtown Disney?
Yeah. I don't remember what the Italian place was, yeah. But that was the worst.
Do not go there. It's a place next to the boathouse.
Don't order a Negroni with the gnocchi because it won't be a Negroni. It'll be colored vaguely like a Negroni. I mean, you're drinking a Negroni in a plastic cup. You've already gone wrong. You've made poor choices. The world's sweetest Negroni.
It's like I wanted to taste it just to see how bad it was, but I was also like, it's probably not worth it.
No.
It's probably not worth the extra like 2 punches I'm going to have to do on the pads to work it out. So
you didn't miss much.
I just let Jenna enjoy that shitty Negroni. And I don't know. I kind of reveled in the fact that it wasn't good because I couldn't eat at the time or drink. Just, so I was just like, must suck. I bet you thought you were going to have something good. Must suck to be you. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for your support. And we'll see you next time. We're at 300 followers. So keep telling your friends about our show and follow back, and we'll do a giveaway at like 500 or something. Yeah. Bye.